So I want to talk to you, so I'm speaking to the men this morning, and we're talking about men of courage. There's about 38 men that are going to commit before the Lord to serve God with all their hearts. And so I want to start off by saying, I love you, but I'm going to shoot straight this morning. Okay, because I'm speaking to the men, and I was just preparing over this past week. The Lord has really been speaking to me of how important this is. We underestimate the importance of men serving God with all their hearts. We underestimate the importance of that for changing society. And we underestimate why there's so much damage happening in society because of men, dads, fathers, husbands being irresponsible and not walking uprightly before God. Massive damage. And I want to share a little bit about that. And I've been thinking this week as well just about my boy, Vian. He's 3 and a half. And just the responsibility of having a little one and the joy of having a little one. He brings so much joy to us. For instance, this past week or so, he came home with a song from school. Now, he doesn't always get the song right. I presume it's a song about love, where he says he's supposed to be saying something like, I love you, I love you. And then he sings, enough you, enough you. And then there's something about lemonade, but I can't make out what the rest of the song is. But enough you, enough you, la-na-na, lemonade. Can't figure it out. But he loves singing, and there's lots of music in our home. We, Sonic and I, there's always music on, and we often sing together, worship together, and in the car, there's always music. And so we just, to have this little one, to have so much potential in this 3 and a half year old, and then to realize that a large percentage of what happens to this little one depends upon me. A massive percentage of what happens to him depends upon me. Obviously, God's grace is good. God is able. I mean, as many of us come from broken homes, and despite that, we're serving God. And despite that, the Lord heals us and restores us. So God is bigger than that. But I just believe that we have this invitation from God to give our children a platform that we could have dreamed about when we were young. And I want to give my boy the best. I want to give my wife the best I can. But there's a few things that I need to decide. I need to decide. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about. Guys, each of us, you are driving a car. That vehicle represents your life. Ladies, you as well, but I'm speaking to the folks and the men. You're driving a vehicle. And as you've seen on the airport party, we had our captain and assistant captain there on the photos doing their thing. And so this vehicle, this car represents our lives. Represents our lives. And when you go into leadership, it's like the vehicle becomes a little bit bigger and you pick up a few passengers. And when you get to pastoring a church, then you're sort of driving a bus. And that represents the opportunity, but also the responsibility. And then at some stage, guys, when you were first single and you were driving your car, and that car has potential to do much damage in terms of crashing into other vehicles, or much potential in blessing and taking you somewhere. And then at some stage, guys, we meet the love of our lives. The one, the lady. And we pick her up, and she sits there next to you. And you put your arm out, wind in your hair. This is the good life. I have now arrived. And we often see that. The guys fight until they get the girl. And then we don't fight anymore. We don't do romance anymore. We just chill. Okay, stop that. And keep fighting for her every day. That's why Sonic and I, we go to marriage seminars as much as possible, because I need to be reminded I need to treasure my wife. I need to work at this. I need to serve her. I need to love her continuously. Okay. Anyway, so you get your goal. And for those who are married and have driven long distances, and maybe you've driven at night, you can, driving your car, wife sleeping next to you, driving long road, it's dark, trucks coming by, and you're driving, you need to know, I need to focus. You know, and then maybe a truck comes by and just misses you with a little bit, a meter or so, and you, adrenaline's pumping again, you realize, focus. Focus. If I lose focus, if I swerve off, damage, massive damage. And then when you add a child at the back or a few children at the back, and they also may be sleeping, you're seeing them in the rearview mirror, you realize, come on, come on, come on. Focus. Focus. Be awake. Don't sleep. Don't fall asleep. Come on. Focus. Be awake. Their lives depend upon this. I mean, just imagine a car accident, lifelong injuries on your kids. I mean, that's a nightmare. And that's just physically driving. But morally, spiritually, relationally, we are all driving a car. And we have passengers, guys. Even if you're just single today, everything you do today will determine the type of vehicle you'll be driving, will determine the type of life you'll be living when the one is added or the kids are added. And so God has given to us a road, a good road, a godly road, a mountain pass that we have to traverse, that we have to go through. And so we're trusting, and we trusting God to lead us on this road of His goodness. But then there's this cliff on the side. And we know if we swerve off, 500 meter drop, damage. Damage. And I see this so often. I see it in counseling. I see it when I meet people. We see it in society. We see people. We see men driving off cliffs morally, spiritually, relationally. And just massive damage to everybody involved. So is this important? It's critical. It's critical. I don't want to be another stat, another statistic, a statistic of a man going off the road, going off the rails. And then so we have another situation sometimes that the guys are driving the car, and then we have the ladies. And they decide, no, I want to drive the car. And so she leans over and she grabs the steering wheel. Ever seen two people trying to drive a car? A nightmare. So ladies, allow your husband to lead. Allow him to drive. A man cannot force his leadership on his wife. It must be given. The lady must allow him to lead. Allow him to lead the way. And so I want to share three things that I believe is critical. The first thing is about choosing today. And this is for everybody, male or female. Each one of us need to make a decision. Who will we serve? And so we see in 1 Kings 18:21 is Elijah, and it's the nation of Israel, and are these Baal prophets. And then Elijah challenges the people. And he challenges the Baal prophets. And he says, Elijah challenged the people, how long are you going to sit on the fence? How long are you going to sit on the fence? If God is the real God, follow him. But if it's Baal, followed him. And we can, for our situation, we can say Baal is anything else. Anything else that's contrary to Christ, contrary to God. Then he says, make up your minds. Make up your minds. Can you say that? Make up your minds. And he says, nobody said a word. Nobody made a move. They all just watched, because there's a showdown happening between the prophet Elijah and the 450 Baal prophets. And God backed Elijah, and fire came down, and everybody was screaming, Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. And they killed the 450 prophets of Baal. And the people turned to God. But I believe many Christians are sitting on like on the fence. It's like, yes, we want to serve God, but oh, I also want to do it my way. I also want to do it my way. You see, the first step for anybody, for any one of us, is to choose the right godly road. You need to make up your mind. Do you want to go the godly road, the road that God has given to you up through the mountain pass? Or do you want to choose your own way, going down a cliff? And I'll explain that in a moment. You see, God created the heavens and the earth, and so he made physical laws like gravity. When you drive off a cliff, gravity is going to hurt you. In the same way, God has designed us. He's made marriage, he's designed man, he's designed female, and he's designed us in a certain way. And then he put down moral laws. It's like gravity. He put down moral laws, and he says, guys, if you drive off a cliff, it's going to really, really hurt. Guys, if you break my law, if you break my word, if you choose your own way, morally or spiritually, you're going to hurt. You're going to hurt. And sometimes I think we're not persuaded. We're not really sure that it's going to hurt. Ah, man, God's going to forgive me. It's not going to be so bad. Ah, let me just try this. And then I sit with people. I sit in counseling with people and I say, I wish we didn't. I wish we didn't. I wish we didn't do it. I wish we didn't go there. Damage. And so sometimes I think we're not so sure about things like sex before marriage, outside marriage. Are we persuaded that when the Word of God says don't do it, don't go there, are we persuaded that it's going to cause damage? The stats show it. The stats show people that have sex outside of marriage, even with the person that they marry, there's consequences. Yes, God, he forgives. Yes, God heals. Yes, God restores. But there's damage, and the damage will... You need to deal with it. Ephesians 5, verse 5 to 8. Do you know what I think is a real man? A real man is a man that says to his lady, his fiance, I'm going to wait until we get married before we have sex. That's a real man. It's not hard to get a lady into bed. You can go pay somebody if you want to. It's not like, wow. Wow, you're a wuss when you choose the short run. A real man says, I honor you, I love you, I respect you. I'm not going to drive this car off the cliff because I love you. Any husband, any father that wants to drive a car off a cliff? Absolutely no. But when we spiritually or morally do it, it's the same way as driving off a cliff. Ephesians 5, verse 5 to 8. The Apostle Paul speaks to the guys and he says, for you may be sure of this. Sure of this. That everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. There you have it. No inheritance. Immoral. Sex outside of marriage. Sex before marriage. Impure. Covetous. Lusting after stuff, choosing their own way, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. What does it mean? Do not call yourself a Christian when you do this type of stuff and you're unrepentant. You have no reason, you don't, that's okay. You're not a Christian. I'm drawing a line here. I'm drawing a line here. Wake up, people, those who are considering messing around, wake up. Do not call yourself a Christian. Call yourself a Hindu. Call yourself an atheist. But do not live a life like this and call yourself a Christian. You're offending God. Okay. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the microphone goes off. And great destruction comes. The wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You were darkness. You were darkness, but no more. You are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Be different. Why be like the culture? Why be like Why be spineless? Why be somebody that doesn't have integrity, biblically speaking? Why take a shortcut? Why drive off a cliff? Why cause damage? I have massive respect for couples who say we're going to be pure until we won't have sex before marriage. I have so much respect for that. I have so much respect for couples who say we're not going to move in together before we get married. Don't be a fence sitter. Take a stand. I'm taking a stand this morning. I'm tired of hoping somebody's going to get it. I'm saying it as it is. Anybody that thinks drunken driving is a good idea? Anybody? Obviously not. I've, over the last few years, spoken to a few people that have drunk too much and really messed up. And I just want to draw a line here again today. Is alcohol sinful? No. But if you drink more than one drink and you are losing control, it's a sin. It's a sin. The word of God says, for drunkards will not receive the kingdom of God. They won't. I'm drawing a line. If you don't know this, now you know. If you lose control when you drink, don't drink ever again. It's not a big price to pay. What is the purpose of a bachelor's, a Christian bachelor's? The purpose is to bless the guy, have fun, bride together, have some fun. The purpose is not to get drunk. Amen? I didn't think I need to say this type of stuff. But I think we do need to say this. Let's stop messing around. You see, I spoke to a guy a few years ago. Good Christian guy. Slept with more than 5 or 6 prostitutes every time he drank. Christian. That freaks me out. Does God forgive? Yes. You're messing up your life and everybody around you. Make up your mind. Do you want to serve God or not? You need to put stuff in place to not go there. The scripture says idolatry. It speaks about covetousness being idolatry. And I just want to touch on idolatry. And that's not this as working myself up here. The blessings of God sometimes become an idol. In other words, my wife is a gift from God, and I can celebrate her, love her, but I'm not supposed to worship her. She's not supposed to take God's place. God has blessed me with her. Now I should worship God, not her. Or my kids. I should not worship my kids. They're blessings from God. But when I cause idolatry, when my heart turns to them at the expense of turning to God, it's called idolatry. And God cannot bless that. Love our kids, yes, we'll die for them. But Jesus should be first. Jesus should be first. And so we need to get our priorities straight. We often hear it said, Jesus must be first, then family, then work, and then church or ministry and things like that. And yes, that's fine. But is Jesus Lord? Or is your definition of Jesus spending a bit of devotional time, 5 minutes every morning, I've done my Jesus is first, and now I go on with life? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. I cannot be in relationship with Jesus but not obey Jesus. I cannot put obedience down there. I believe we can do ministry and family and parenting all together as one. You don't have to sacrifice any one of them. Because my wife is kingdom business for me. My child is kingdom business for me. I mean, I honor God when I spend time with my child. But I can't use my wife or my kids as an excuse for obeying God and pursuing the kingdom. And yes, when you just had a baby, you're probably out for a few months. We understand that. you're out. It really is a challenge when you have small kids. That's fine. I'm just saying, in your heart, is Jesus, are you still seeking the kingdom of God? Is God still first? Psalm 112, verse 1 to 2. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Who delights greatly in his commandments. Blessed is the man who honors God. Blessed is the man who delights greatly in his commandments. Like, yes, what is the will of God? I want to do it. It's the good road. It's the safe road. It's the life-giving road. I love God's commandments because it says, son, I love you so much. This is the good way. Don't do sex before marriage. Don't do porn. Don't mess around. The good road. And look at this. This is so powerful. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. When? When you honor God and you delight greatly in his commandments. What is the best thing I can do for my boy? I can honor God. Best thing I can do for my son is to love God's commandments. That's the best thing I can do. I desire my son to be a mighty on the earth. I desire my son to have a massive impact on this world. I desire one day for my son to say, when people ask, how did you do this? How was this possible? And I desire him to say, my dad showed me the way. My dad showed me how to live for God. My dad was a man of integrity. My dad was faithful. My dad loved my mom. My dad loved me. Mighty on the earth. That's what I desire for my son. That's the best thing you can do. You can do all the other stuff right, but not honor God, and you miss out on the fullness. Numbers 14:32. This is a tough one as well. Israelites have disobeyed God. They've dishonored God. They've been unfaithful. And then God speaks this. They were wanting to enter the promised land, and God said, no, you're going to go around 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, and then your children will take the land. It says, but as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness. For us, spiritually speaking, morally speaking, when we choose our own way, we drive off the cliff. Dead bodies falling in the wilderness. And your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and shall suffer for your faithlessness. How's that? Suffer for your faithlessness until the last of your dead bodies lies in the wilderness. That's a horrible scripture. But we see that. We see the damage in the lives of children. Men, we see it. When you are unfaithful, your kids pay the price. Make no mistake. When you choose your own road, which is contrary to the word of God, you drive the car off the cliff, and they shall suffer for your faithlessness. So why should we do a resolution like we're doing this morning? Because we love our kids, even if we don't have kids, those coming after us, spiritually or physically. Your children shall suffer. And what is at the root of this? Selfishness. Just selfishness. Me, myself, and I. For the sake of my family, I will choose the godly path. Men, we are gatekeepers. Our decisions will either open the gates of hell or the gates of heaven. Morally, spiritually, relationally. How many children suffer in this world because of dads or men? When you go to a community around this corner, to a squatter camp, you'll see that most of those kids almost never knew their dads. Their grandmother raised them. When you go to a Christian church in one of these communities, you will find not more than 5 or 6 married couples in a whole church of a few hundred people. Why is society so messed up? Men. Spineless men. I'm just saying it because we're men and we can take it. We can take it. So what is this resolution about? Let's look at Joshua 24:14-15. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My house, we're going to serve Jesus. 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 But make up your mind, what are you going to do? Joshua, the man that Moses raised up. Moses was a godly man, and he raised up almost like a son in the house, Joshua. And he was a godly man because Moses transferred his values to this young man. And when Moses was in the presence of God, Joshua was there as well. In the presence of God, as the scriptures say. When Moses even left the tabernacle and said, Joshua remained there. It was an impartation of grace. And so my wife and I, when we worship God, when we pray, then I often have my boy on my lap and we're just worshiping God and saying, God, touch this boy of mine. Touch him. Touch him with your presence. Touch him with your goodness. Let him catch your heart. Let him catch your fullness, that impartation. What is the resolution about today? The resolution is about choosing the godly road. We will be loyal to God. We will honor God. The resolution is also a declaration of war. It's not saying we have arrived. It's saying we are going somewhere. You're declaring it to hell, to heaven, to family, to friends. You're saying, I am going to honor God. Okay, so the first thing is today, choose. Choose which road you're going to walk. Choose before the time. You want to live holy. You want to walk purely. Choose. Secondly, loyal hearts. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. I can just picture this. The eyes of the Lord are looking fro. All through the earth, he's looking, he's trying to find a man or a woman that would be loyal to him, that will say, God, in all of adversity, if the culture is going that way and your word says that way, I'm going that way. Making up your mind. Loyalty to God. And then God says, and here's a beautiful invitation, is saying, if I find a loyal man, there's nothing I won't do for him. That's what God is saying. There's nothing that I will do for him. A loyal man. And so we find the King David. And as he was young and as he was serving God, he was loyal to God. And we find this man, God moved mountains for him. God would do anything for him. He was unstoppable. He was just favor and blessing wherever he went. Until his heart turned away from God. And so loyal hearts is critical. Loyal hearts are critical. Lord, why is a loyal heart? You need to put in the right fuel. There's three dangers I just want to highlight. Danger number one when it comes to doing a resolution. Danger number one and when it comes to wanting to drive, wanting to make it the whole way. You could run out of fuel. If you're driving your car, you could run out of fuel. This car doesn't have a brake. So if you're driving up this mountain pass, your fuel goes, you're dead. You lose control, you drive off the cliff. Cheers. What does it mean? That means daily time with God. Daily time. Whenever I speak to somebody who's been gone off the wall, who've been immoral, who've gone astray, always pull it back to, were they spending time with God? No. We're not spending time with God. So you need to fuel up every day. You need to have a lifestyle where you say, I have chosen the good way, and I realize that to be on this good way, I need to spend time with God every day. Every day. In the morning, preferably before you go out. I need to fuel up. And I'm so proud of my wife. I mean, she's every morning, 7 days a week, she's up 6 o'clock spending an hour or so with the Lord. And that's awesome. And that's how it should be. We should make time for the Lord. So the first one, you could run out of fuel. Don't run out of fuel. Spend time with God. Second, another danger is the danger of dead religion. It is doing the right things, but not having the right heart. It's a massive danger for us as Christians. In other words, you can do a resolution and you say, I believe in what is right. And this is right. And this is right. And that's wrong. And you can miss the heart. You can miss the love. You can miss with your family the celebration, the joy, the serving them, the winning of their hearts. It can just be about what's right and what's wrong, but missing the heart. And so that's a danger. And so we need to get the time with the Lord so God can touch our hearts, make it soft, make it humble, so we can love and serve. About a year ago, when my son was just around these two-ish time, he was quite a challenge. And we had to give him lots and lots of hidings. I mean, like three times a day sometimes. It's just, you know, it was like really challenging. And unfortunately, I was busy and I was distracted in my head most of the time. And I sort of took on the role of the disciplinarian. That's how my son started to relate to me. Because I wasn't spending time with him. I wasn't just being with him. I wasn't just having fun with him. So I would be busy, 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 and I hear hiding time. Oh, okay. Give him a hiding and then go back to my things. And I realized I was losing my boy. He was just 2 years old, but already I could pick up. He saw me as the one that gives the hiding. Because I wasn't really spending time with him. And that's really turned. I've really been spending lots of time with him, and we're just having fun. And I realized this is a challenge for us as men. We can't just choose to serve God. We need to also know we need to win the hearts of those around us. We need to win our children's hearts. We need to win our spouse's heart. We need to trust God for that. Okay, so I encourage you to make sure you do that. You see, you can't force your will upon your wife. You can lead, yes, but they need to willingly follow. You can't say you will and you shall and submit, woman. You can try it, but it doesn't work very well. That normally backfires. So I'm just warning you, for those who are not married yet or getting into it, you just try it once and you won't do it again. I have respect for a man who leads his family. I have respect for a man, and as I say, this is not domination, this is not intimidation. I'm talking about leading a man who says, who shows by example, I will follow God. Who shows by example, I seek God. Who shows by example, I pray to God and trust in Him. I have respect for that. You see, our kids do not do what we say. They do what we do. So even before we had a boy or a child, Sonic would often tell me, you have to eat your veggies and things. Because when we are going to have a child, they're not going to eat because you're not eating your veggies and things. I'm eating my veggies. But my boy copies me. He looks at what I do. He wants to eat from my plate. He wants to drink from my glass. He sees what I do and he wants to do then. And so even if you're single today, you can already start a lifestyle that's going to honor your wife and your children. Hypocrisy immunizes our children to the Lord. What's hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is dad's always saying, but he's never doing what he's saying. Guys, you need to do what you say or stop talking. Hypocrisy immunizes our children. I don't want a situation where one day I speak to a student or whatever and I say, well, why are you so anti-God? Why don't you want to have anything to do with God? And he said, my dad was a hypocrite. I don't want that. And I'm sure you don't want that either. So watch your word and your deeds. Third danger. Complacency. And that's what happened to King David. He had won all his battles. He had all of his successes. And then it says, and when the kings go out to war, he stayed at home. He stayed at home and was walking around on the roof of his palace. And then he saw a lady having a bath. Weird lady bathing on the roof of a house. That's weird. I would have outlawed that. If I was the king, I'd say no woman will bath on the roof of their homes. But King David was complacent. He wasn't out there. He wasn't on the front lines. He wasn't out there with his buddies. He was complacent. What was the result? He committed horrible sins. And the result of that was terrible. He was unstoppable, absolutely unstoppable, as long as his heart was loyal to God. But when he became complacent and his heart turned away from God and he sinned with this woman committing adultery and then murdering her husband, all hell broke loose. Nehemiah 4 verse 14. Guys, are you on the front lines? Or are you complacent? Are you on the front lines? Are you fighting a battle for your family, for your kids, even if they're not born yet? Look at this verse. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of culture. Do not be afraid of intimidation. It's fine to be a virgin at 35. I honor you if you're a virgin at 35. I bless you for that. That is not being a wuss. That's being a real man. Amen. Amen. And if you're not, it's fine. God loves you. We love you. But I want to honor the men and encourage you to stay on track. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Remember the Lord, who is great, who is awesome. He is ready to do whatever on your behalf. He wants to fight for you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to prosper you. If your heart would just be loyal to him. He says, fight for your family. Fight for your wives. Fight. Do not be complacent. Get a mission. Get on the front lines and go for it. With King David, massive destruction followed his sin. It impacted his offspring and the nation of Israel. His own kids actually turned against him. Absalom tried to kill his own dad because of the curse that came because of his sin. I can just imagine. I mean, with my little one, there's few things so amazing as putting him in bed and then he says, I'm going to kiss you, Dad. Then he starts on the mouth and he works to the year, and then he ends on the nose. And he wants to be with me. He enjoys it. And I tell you, the feeling as a dad, it is so fulfilling. It is so fulfilling. Now, I can just imagine when your child becomes a teenager or older and they turn against you and they say, Dad, I hate you. I despise you. And that happens. And if you trace it back, it was just because of your own unfaithfulness. Open a door. Open a door to the enemy. I mean, in my own family, my dad, and I honor my dad, he's an awesome, awesome man. I love him. I've got a great relationship. But he was unfaithful to my mom. I can remember during that time how things would visit me at night. Demons would visit me at night because of my dad's unfaithfulness. I didn't have a clue what's going on. I can still today remember the dreams of these things coming to visit me. We have a responsibility. 2 Samuel 12 verse 8, God now speaks to David after he has sinned. And he goes him through a whole thing of what God has done for him. And he says, I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. I would have given you everything if you just remained faithful to me, loyal to me. But now, David, you've stuffed it away. You really have been foolish. It will cost you. Ungodly relationship. I've been reading through Kings. And 2 Kings 8 verse 18. There was a king called Jehoram. And amazing, his dad was a faithful man of God. His dad honored God. He was an amazing man. And it says that Jehoram became king when he was 32. So you would have thought that by the age of 32, dad would have would have transferred his values and his love and his honor for God to the son. But then it says the son at 32 became a wicked king. Why? Listen to this. It's not on the screen. 2 Kings 8 verse 18. He said, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, for the daughter of Ahab, a wicked king, was his wife. He married the wrong woman. He married a wicked woman. It says he was evil, and he did evil in the sight of God because he married the wrong person. Is that a tough one? Absolutely. But because I love you, because I care for you, I don't want to 10 years down the line I have to counsel you and you crying and say, I never should have. And we sit with people. We see it. People marrying the wrong people. I mean, my wife is a good woman. But the impact it has when you're married to somebody is amazing. I mean, so we're trying to eat healthy now. And we're trying to gym and sort out the, yeah, all the stuff. And now she has a bit of the last month or so, a bit of a soft spot for chocolates, Kit Kats and things. So she's bringing them into the house the whole time. She's going to blush now. So she's bringing all these chocolates into the house. And I wasn't wanting to, but now it's there. Yeah, bring it out. Come on. And now we're eating the chocolate. And I mean, that's not a sin. It's not a crisis. It's nothing, okay? I'm just trying to show you that the influence that a spouse has on you, it's amazing. Yes, it is my own choice. Yes, if I was going down the line, it shows you how important this message is. This is so important. And so the challenge for us as well, ladies and guys, you influence your partner. If your heart turns away from God, they will influence your partner. You have a responsibility to seek the Lord. Maybe you would say that this today, your heart with God is not right. You're not in a good space with the Lord. You can change that today. Today. Right now, you can right now choose. From this day onwards, I'm going to serve Jesus, the one who gave me life. I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to be a blessing to my spouse. You can choose that today. Last point. So the first one is choose today that godly road. Second point is loyal hearts. Get the right fuel in your system, the heart change that manifests in winning the hearts of your family and your children. And then thirdly, bold boundaries. Just shortly ending off with this. Bold boundaries. Again, this is so serious. We have friends that were in a small group with us. Well, not really friends anymore, but we were at that stage. When we were in Stellenbosch, they were in a small group with us. Lovely couple. The husband committed adultery and destroyed that relationship, and they have a small little child. And that really freaks me out. And I can bring it back to simply this. There aren't the right barriers were not in place in their lives. 1 Samuel 2:35, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and my mind. I will build him a sure house and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever. And so to help you understand, if you're driving up a pass, when would you like to realize that you have slipped off the road? Would you want to realize that when you plunge 500 meters down the cliff? Or do you want to wake up when you hit a barrier before you go off the cliff? Obviously, barrier. Would you agree? So you and I have a responsibility to put barriers in our lives so that when we hit the barrier, there's a block, there's a stop that keeps us from going down off the cliff. And so I'm continuously building in barriers in my life to keep me from messing up. I speak to pastors about a kilometer down the road, guys here at a church. The guy almost committed adultery with a lady he counseled. So what do? I don't counsel ladies alone. I don't spend time with ladies alone ever, except my wife and my mom. Okay. So that's quite safe. And so each of us have the challenge to lay down boundaries so that it keeps you from hitting the serious trouble. And so I want to read a few things that I want to encourage you guys to do. But God says in that scripture, I will build him a sure house. I will bless his family. I will build him a house. For instance, firstly, just being planted in the house of God. I have respect for a man who can lead his family and say, family, on Sundays we go to church. That's what we do. We are planted in the house of God. I have respect for a man who's a frontline man who speaks to his family and says, family, we get involved in the church. We don't just sit in the pews. We are frontline people seeking first the kingdom of God. I have respect for that. I have respect for a man who invests in godly friendships that says, I don't walk alone. I pursue relationship with other men so that I can speak to them when the chips are down, when the challenges come. I have respect for a man that says, I make myself accountable. I don't wait for people to ask me, how's it going? I go to my accountability friends and I tell them I'm battling. I tell them I'm struggling. I tell them that's going well. I tell them how's it going with my marriage. I tell them how's it going in my personal life. I make myself accountable. This type of man would speak when there's stuff messing on the inside. Get into the light. Put out that barrier. I have respect for a man who puts an internet filter on his computers and his phones so that he cannot be tempted by the enemy to look at stupid pictures. I have respect for that. I have respect for a man who makes time for his spouse, who values her, treasures her. I have respect for a man that says, I make time for my family just to have fun together, just to love my children, just to be with him. I have respect for a man who leads in the home spiritually, who prays with his family, who says, in this house we speak about God. I have respect for that. And when we're going to do this resolution now, on it there's space for the signature of the guy doing it, and also a signature of two witnesses. And the idea is to be accountable to them or to other people that you have in your life, but to commit. There's a process of accountability. Just imagine King David, just ending off with this. King David, he was walking on his palace roof, and he's checking out this lady in the bath. And then he goes back inside, and he gets out his cell phone, and he phones his, they had cell phones those days, and he phones his buddy, and he says, buddy, whoa, there's a hot woman in a bath just on the roof next door. Man, and I'm battling in my head. I'm battling and I'm thinking of doing something stupid. Something really, really stupid. But he says, hold on, King David, my friend. I'll be over in a jiffy. I'll be over. I'm bringing pizza. I'm there. So he comes. Yay. You know, give him like a high five. Hey, it's good to be with you. Let's eat some pizza. And then let's go to the house of God. Let's go worship God. Let's pray together. Let's get the stuff out. And after being at the house of God together, being in the presence of God together, King David says, yeah, thanks, man. You really helped me. I really appreciate that. Go back to his throne room. And then Buddy says, I'd like to speak to one of your administrators as well. Yes, sure. Go for it. He phones the administrator and says, King David would like you at this immediately tomorrow morning, get a construction crew in. We're going to build a wall on that side of the palace. We're just going to sort this stuff out. And then we're going to take it even further. And then you won't believe it, but the lady in flat number 5 actually won a prize. It's a renovation, complete renovation of her house on behalf of King David. And we're going to give her an indoor bath. Yeah. Yes, sir, we shall do immediately. Thank you. High fives going around. Lekker, lekker. We have just won again. Don't do like King David when the prophet 9 months later comes to you and says, you're the man and you're in trouble. Stop it when you're battling over here. Phone a friend. Let's get serious about this. This is so powerful. I tell you, I've put many things in place, and we're continuously putting place things in our lives to keep us, boundaries, to keep us, barriers, to keep us from going off track. Even just financially, Sonic and I have decided that we will be accountable to the finance board of the church for personal gifts that people give us. We will declare it, and if it's above a certain amount, we will consider not receiving it. We will submit it to our finance board because we will not be corrupted by finances. A barrier. Do what you need to do to stay on track. Do what you need to do to stay on track. I will not be a statistic by the grace of the living God. Okay. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Show himself strong. Now the buddy would have probably told David, David, get onto the front lines. Get out there with your buddy. Stop hanging around at home. Get out there. Okay, so I'm going to show a video clip. If you can close the windows there for us. I want to show you that just the last 4 or 5 minutes out of the movie Courageous. That's sort of the inspiration for us for doing this, the resolution. And this is so powerful. It is about choosing the godly way, choosing the right way, drawing a line in the sand and saying, I will serve the Lord. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay, are we ready? Let's play and put off the lights for us, please.
For the last 6 weeks, I've preached on God's design for fathers to be teachers, to be protectors, to be providers. I read to you this resolution that was written and signed by the four men standing behind me. But instead of just talking about these men, I'm going to ask Adam Mitchell to come and speak to us.
As a law enforcement officer, I've seen firsthand the deep hurt and devastation that fatherlessness brings in a child's life. Our prisons are full of men and women who have lived recklessly after being abandoned by their fathers, wounded by the men who should have loved them the most. Many of these children now follow the same pattern of irresponsibility that their fathers did. While so many mothers have sacrificed to help their children survive, they were never intended to carry the weight alone. We thank God for them. But research is proving that a child also desperately needs a daddy. There's no way around this fact. As you know, earlier this year, my family endured the tragic loss of our 9-year-old daughter, Emily. Her death forced me to realize that not only had I not taken advantage of the priceless time I had with her, but that I did not truly understand how crucial my role was as a father to her and our son Dylan. Since her passing, I've asked God to show me through his word how to be the father that I need to be. I now believe that God desires for every father to courageously step up and do whatever it takes to be involved in the lives of his children. But more than just being there, providing for them, he's to walk with them through their young lives and be a visual representation of the character of God, their Father in heaven. The father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect, and should call out his children to become responsible men and women who live their lives for what matters in eternity. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence he has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel only to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of your children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did not do for us, will give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are, and to teach our children to do the same. And whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, but who desperately need help and direction. And we are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my son to follow Christ, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting my family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of destructive patterns in my family's history? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility, and it is my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and His blessing on my home. Any good man does. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you, fathers who fear the Lord? It's time to rise up and answer the call that God has given to you, and to say, I will. I will. I will.
Inspiring movie, if you haven't seen it. Courageous. It's really very good. And the resolution is from the scriptures. And so I want to call for three groups of guys, of men. First, the married with kids. And then they're going to do the resolution. And then the married guys, and then the single guys. Okay, so first the married, and they with their wives and with their kids, if it's possible. Albert Schutzler. Are you here? Alan Hammond? Myself? Daryl Clarkson? Dion Henning? Jason Law? Leon Buerta? Mark Buerta? Niku Olifant? Philip Thron? Ray Van Roda? And Rion Cocktroy? And we have a photographer here who's going to take photos, and we've dressed up because we take this seriously. And Philip is a week away from marriage, so his fiance is standing with him. Maybe just spread over. I really want to honor you guys for doing this. This is very powerful and very special. And we're going to frame this, frame the resolution, and put it up in our homes. So I'm gonna read it. It's like a marriage. It's like a wedding today. It's good. So we're just gonna go through the resolution. You're gonna declare it. I'm gonna read the first, and then you declare it after me, and then we're gonna give you the certificates. Just say the following: I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her, as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all of their hearts, all of their minds, and all of their strength. I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. Amen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, we thank You, God, for each of the men here and families represented here and their kids. God, in the name of Jesus, we acknowledge that we cannot do this in our own ability. But this day, God, we choose the godly road. This day, we choose to walk the path that You have set before us. And we thank You, God, that You'll give us courage. Give these men courage, Lord God. Give them ability, Lord God. Give them strength, Lord God. Give these families joy and peace and life in abundance. In the name of Jesus, Father, we commit them into Your hands. And by Your grace, by Your power, enable them to fulfill this resolution to the glory of God. And all God's people say, amen. I just want to give you the certificate. Amen. Thank you. You can take your seats. At the end of the service, we're going to be signing here in the front. We're going to be signing the resolutions. Now, the married guys, Ellen van Dale, Kobus van Dijk, Foden Saunders, Francois Marais, Jean-Pierre Gounod, Jimmy Soans, Johan van der Westhuizen, Kim Dewing, MJ de Oliveira, Naas van Heerden, Sean de Villiers, Stephen Montgomery, Christian Lodewijks, Stian, Tinus Pretorius, Warren Olschlager, and William Godfrey. I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her. as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all of their hearts, all of their minds, and all of their strength. I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is a declaration of the way forward. It's irrespective of what has happened in the past. God's grace and forgiveness and power to restore is sufficient. And I want to encourage you, whatever has happened in your lives, any mistakes you've made, God is able to restore completely, and more than that, use it for His glory. There are so many testimonies of people who have made massive mistakes and turning back 10 years later and saying, God used it. There are testimonies of men who've been this unfaithful to their wives, and later, after years of suffering and reconciliation, they say their marriage is better than ever. God used it. But it's not God's first choice for you, the pain and unnecessary suffering. So I just want to encourage us. Do not receive any condemnation of any mistakes you've ever made in your life. Our God and the cross of Christ is greater than that. Amen. Father, I commit these men into your hands. And these couples, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your love and your goodness, your favor upon their lives. May they truly be able to declare, I am loyal to God. And God fights for me. God, we pray for a supernatural boldness and confidence in their lives as they pursue you. Father, I pray that these men will be frontline men, not complacent at a home. Frontline or complacent in a bar. But frontline, serving God with their whole hearts. And so, Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you empower us. And Lord, I pray for these resolutions as we're going to put it up in our homes. God, I pray that it would be a reminder daily. Lord, that as we read it, that it would strengthen our resolve again to pursue you with all our hearts. That it would strengthen our resolve to be accountable, strengthen our resolve to walk in the light, strengthen our resolve to put up barriers of protection. God, we honor you. And we thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that will go forth from these couples' lives. We honor you, God, and we say, have your way and let your will be done in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen. Okay, last group. Let's give them a hand. You can join us in the next. We missed a couple. Sorry. Okay, next group. André van der Westhuizen, Calvin Waberski, Christo Goosen, Clinton de Kok, George Greiling, Gordon Noble, Juan Goosen, Kobus Kutsier, Sebastian, Paul, Siegfried Schutzler, and Gerard, join us. Sorry about that. I feel like I'm going to war. That's probably why I'm so serious. Okay. And I think it's powerful when we're single men and married men. I'm I'm so sorry to the French. They did so beautiful on Wednesday evening. Yeah, okay. I'm getting hot. Okay, I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as a spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her, as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all of their hearts, with all of their minds, and all of their strength. I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I've wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you can also declare the following, that I will remain pure until marriage. I will not move in with a lady if I'm not married with her. In Jesus' name. Amen.